I'm Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane. Today's program, available only on 101.7 WXCY Radio, remembers Kane's civil defense efforts. Local mobilization of civil defense began in Kane in 1942 with a call from the zone director for 35 men to volunteer for emergency firefighting during the Second World War. Volunteers would be classified by experience and trained as necessary. It was a noble and reasonable request for patriotic Hilltoppers to stand guard on the home front in the event of a conventional bombing. When Russia exploded an atom bomb in 1949, U.S. civil defense efforts went into overdrive. What had formerly been a large-scale local effort to fight fires and prepare for the hardships of war now included the responsibility of teaching the populace about the nightmare of thermonuclear war. Pennsylvania rushed to revive its wartime civil defense system that had been dissolved in 1945. In 1951, President Harry Truman signed into law a $3.1 billion civil defense bill designed to protect the nation's communities from atomic warfare and kicked off a bevy of educational campaigns across the country. When the spending bill passed, Pennsylvania Governor John S. Feind appointed Robert J. Hetznecker as Director of Civil Defense for Wetmore Township and tabbed Carl Alexis to that post in Foster Township and Hugh N. Lunn in Hamlin Township. In 1952, an 8-ton civil defense rescue truck made stops in Kane and Mount Jewett to showcase the latest breathing apparatus, first aid material, portable floodlights, lifting gears, and special life-saving tools, the Kane Republican reported. Additionally, the U.S. Civil Defense Department released a film called Duck and Cover that used cartoon characters to deliver the message that school kids across the country should practice diving under their desks during preparatory drills. When local efforts lagged, Mayor Edward McDermott hired Carl Blair, a retired insurance executive, to head efforts on the hilltop. Blair, who had lost a son in combat in overseas action, hit the ground running. Blair helped recruit and train more than 70 volunteer air wardens for Operation Skywatch. This crew faithfully and diligently watched over hilltop skies during the 1950s from the observation tower near the Poplar Street Bridge. According to the Kane Republican, Kane's crack unit, led by Lucy Hurst, earned national plaudits and observed multiple UFOs before the tower was taken down in 1961. In 1954, Blair executed Operation Christmas Tree in Kane to test air raid warning lights that were installed at the Kane substation of the Pennsylvania State Police and at the Penn Kane Hotel. According to the Kane Republican, the new light system has a panel of 4 lights, each with its specific meaning. In the CD Air Defense Program, lights are white, yellow, blue, red, and again white, flashing. In that sequence, and each light has its signal bell for audio warning. Controls for the lights are located at Troop C headquarters at Punxsutawney, the newspaper recorded. Civil defense educational programs of the 1950s urged families to stock emergency supplies like water and batteries, ensure that kids' vaccinations were up to date. Mothers were instructed to go to the kitchen to extinguish pilot lights, fill tubs and sinks with water, close all doors and windows to minimize the danger from shattered glass and radioactive mist. Every homemaker was instructed to tack a list of defense jobs for children on the wall or refrigerator. A spokesman for the New York Office of Civil Defense wrote, "If children know what to do, they will have some sense of security instead of a fear of some mysteriously dreadful fate. After all, our children didn't grow up in neurotic fear of fire because of fire drills at school." Multiple training exercises and surprise mock air raids were staged on the hilltop throughout the 1950s to test the town's readiness. In 1953, exercise, all persons were ordered off the streets at exactly 7:02 p.m. Cars were ordered stopped with occupants moving to nearby points of safety. Chief Bernard Rose led a group of auxiliary police with volunteers donning armbands and carrying flashlights. Charles Bray led Kane's civil defense efforts until his retirement in 1961. On his watch, volunteers equipped supplies for a 200-bed hospital unit that was stored in the Salvation Army building and in a Stackpole Carbon Company warehouse. The makeshift unit was ready-made for setup within hours in the event of a disaster. I remember diving under my school desk at Westside and participating in civil defense warning drills, and sometimes I heard sonic booms crash like thunder in the skies overhead. Better to remember how legions of local volunteers did their best to head off doomsday. Well, that's all for this week, friends. Please send your comments and story ideas to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.